Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and beer is a dish best served cold.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
For the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading The Bear and the Nightingale by Catherine Arden. And someone starting a beer?
And I'm starting with a very cold beer called Really Cold by Radiant Pig. Because this book takes place in Russia, so it's fucking cold. Also, the cold is a really important part of the book to the point where, like, there's literally a character that just represents cold. Also more than that, but he's also kind of the villain. But also is basically just cold. So, yeah, he's really cold. And this beer was in my fridge, so, you know, it's cold.
It's meant to be.
Yep. How many triple IPA? Is this a one layer or infinite layers of connection happening right now? I can't tell.
Infinite. It's cold all the way down. That's pretty much could have been the alternate title of this book. Okay,
that's
so
that's what my friend who works at the morgue says about his alone times. Nate, did you pick? Why the fuck are we reading this book? Who picked this?
This was messaged to us on the interwebs, and they said you should read this book, and so we said okay, and then we did, and now we're here. Much like life,
yeah.
A stranger told me to do it, so I did it.
That's how most of the dicks I've sucked started. So this book started.
What do you mean, most.
Most. Well, you know, some just, you know, you're just the mood is right. So this book came out in 2017, and like most things, it's part of a series called the Winter Night Trilogy, which I had honestly not heard of before, but it was nominated for the Hugo for Best Series, and it's Catherine Arden's first novel. So. She's been churning them out. 2017 feels recent in my head, but it's not, actually. So this has been around for a while.
It's a full plague ago.
Yeah.
Almost I mean, two.
If you want to call Joe Biden's presidency that, that's on you. So the novel takes place in what could be Russia any time before 1905. But I
pretty
guess because they mentioned the fucking Golden Horde, it's got to be like 1300.
It's back when it's called Rus.
It mentions that it was in the reign. The beginning starts in the reign of Ivan II. And I just moments ago looked up when that was. Turns out 1326 to 1359. So no, that's when he was born. He died in 1359. So 1353 to 1359 is when...
That's a really narrow window.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was hard to be a, were they the Tartars?
It's hard out here for a czar, I believe was the rap song about this time.
Were they czars?
He was a grand prince because they were technically still being dicked around by the
Mongols.
So, like, they're like, oh, the Mongols are like, okay, guys, you can rule yourselves as long as you keep giving us money.
And then they were like, Khan.
I can't dig it.
It is cold.
So it takes place pretty much entirely on the fief of Pyotr Vladimirovich and he's like some, I don't know, what do you?
He's a local duke of sorts.
He's like a, viscount once removed. He's not
boyar.
Viscounts when you know the number.
He's a boyar, which is the singular of boyardee. It's one boyar. And him and his wife Spaghetti-O. But he's a boyar, which I don't know what the fuck that is. It's a noble rank. But they're like remote. They're in the middle of fucking nowhere. And it's
he's
cold.
He's lord of the bumfuck area of where they, of their
Russia.
Roost.
And he has and it starts, I mean, it first starts with this, like, fairy tale thing, but it really starts, he's got a bunch of kids, and his wife is like, I want one more kid, and I'm going to die. And he's like, that seems like a bad idea. He's like, shut the fuck up, and then that happens.
This is going to be the special kid that it's worth dying for.
Yeah, I can feel it. This egg in the chamber right now, this is a good one. And he's like, just jizz on it, please. And he's like, all right. And she's like, it's going to be like my mom. He's like, oh, fucking Jesus, no. Like at the holidays? Oh, so she's like, no, it's going to be like my mom. When you get a little bit that her mother was like this weird Nell character of Russia, who just like wandered out of the woods.
She was kind of like Nell.
Was magical. And she was like, Hando Patito. And they're like, that's Russian, I guess. And then she, but you got to like put like more nya sounds in it. Like, yeah, that's Nell. It's, yeah. Horror show. She was, she married a prince or some shit. They're all prince. They're all marrying princes.
She was half sister to the grand super prince, grand mega super bonus finalist prince of Rus. And then she got married off to Pyotr, who was like, I'll take the crazy one.
She's fucking hot. I'm sure you've seen the, you know, the triangle.
Marina is his wife. Yeah, Marina's mother is the crazy one. Yes.
You know the triangle of women when you're dating, right? They could be hot, single, or sane. They can only be two of those three things. And he's like, well, she's single and hot. I'll take it. She's like, she talks to demons, and she's like, whatever.
Hot is good because it's always cold there.
Yes, it was a pragmatic decision. It's like, that ass won't quit warming my house. So then he marries her and has a bunch of kids, and she's like, I'm going to have one more baby. And it's Vasilisa, who they will call anything but that for the rest of the book.
The names are so confusing in the beginning because everyone has multiple names. In fact, no one has ever called the same name twice. I think that's true.
It's because in Russia, you don't call anyone by their given name if you know them. Like if it's like they don't say like Mr. whatever, they say like your full name. That's why they all have, you know, she's Vasilisa Petrovna.
Petrovna.
Yeah, because they have your full name and your patronymic as like the formal way. But if you know
like
someone,
your middle name, right? Well, probably in 1300, most people didn't have last names yet. So that was just...
Yeah, your patronymic would be your middle name now. And it's like your dad's name ending in Vich if you're a boy and Ofna if you're a girl. But for your first name, it would not make... People wouldn't call you Vasilisa. They wouldn't call you, Nikolai. That's, you know... So sometimes she doesn't actually... there's a whole glossary in the back, but she does not explain the fucking names, which is kind of annoying.
We must have discussed this on like War and Peace, but they're diminutives. So they're familiar versions.
Everyone gets a diminutive, yeah.
And some of them are like...
And there's extra diminutives if you end it in ka. That's diminutive.
Right, which diminutive means shorter, but somehow they get longer. Irony. And there's like all... It's a little more complex because it's like some are only... very familiar. Some are only from like an older person to a younger person. But it is funny in the book, like they will never use the same ones two in a row. So it'll be like, call me Vasya, said Vasilisa, pointing to herself, Vazachka, or whatever the fuck. Like they will say it in the same. So like the matron figures will refer to her as Vazochka, or whatever the fuck it is. Most people call her Vasya, but when they're like, you're in trouble, Missy, they'll say Vasilisa. And there's probably a few more.
Yeah, if you have learned this elsewhere, it makes sense. And if you have not learned it elsewhere, you're like, what the fuck is going on? It's worse than a regular fantasy book where they have made up names because these are real names, but it's just as confusing.
Well, they were made up just by Russians.
Yeah.
But Vasya is special. We find that out right away because she's a tomboy and they're like, what is this shit? And she clearly understands magic shit, but that's not clear right away to anyone. So I don't know why I said it was clear. It's not. But something, forgotten fates are going to be important there. I don't know. This is the beer I have. And I want to drink it. And it has like weird little mermaid things on there, which we meet something like that in the book. And this is an Imperial Stout from KCBC brewed with cacao nibs, coffee, vanilla, and milk sugar. You know, I really thought I liked pastry stouts. I'm glad people are moving away from that a little bit. This is not as sweet. I'm going to leave today with the same amount of toes I started with, which is good. Which you can't say for all the characters in Russia.
In this book, yeah. The toes get mentioned.
So there's a lot of story. I mean, we meet a lot of characters. And it's a trilogy, so there's a lot
mainly
of people
siblings.
To set up.
So I'm assuming siblings. A lot of siblings become important later, so you're supposed to remember them. But I did not for most part.
Basically, Vasya is the youngest of five or six kids. And
yeah, something like
she's
that.
The she second girl.
Three or four brothers and another girl. And the older sister, and then there's like another half sister that shows up later on.
Right. So the mom is dead. It's been several years. There's this old peasant woman who kind of raises them named Dunya. And there's the brothers who are all kind of being groomed to be minor nobility. And their names don't matter because they change every paragraph anyway. And there's a sister who is going to get married off. And like the first major thing that I think happens is that the dad takes some of the boys to go like marry them off and find himself a new wife. And then you get the first bit of conflict. His wife that he gets is named Anna, and everyone, and she's crazy because she can.
And she's the daughter of the prince.
So right.
Like she's the prince's oldest daughter. And there's a slight, there's a little bit of an explanation about how the prince is like, I'm going to marry her off to this guy. So to Piotr, the father, so instead of that other dude, cause then his kids will have a stronger claim on the throne than mine will. So I have to like, you know, send her off to somewhere into the wilderness. So he does.
But she's like a religious zealot because she sees it becomes very American Gods-ish for the rest of the book. She sees these little goblin demon things all over the place that most people cannot see, but are part of like, they're like the old ones.
Folktale spirits.
Yeah, there are a lot of Rumpelstiltskins just wandering around.
Pretty much, yeah. They're the ones that existed before Christianity came and ruined everything.
Ivana Ivanova, is that her name?
Ivanova, because he's Prince Ivan. Yeah.
Yes. So she
or Ivan is Ivanova. Like, Ivanova. Yeah.
Ivanova. Whatever. So anyway, she sees all these little spirits, and she's terrified of them. She thinks they're demons, and all she wants is to become a nun, go into a convent, because in her mind, in a church, a Christian church, they never go in, these little monster thingies. But she doesn't get that. She gets sent off to become the young bride, because she's still like a teenager. Or maybe early 20s, no, probably a teenager, to married off to, like, you know, probably in a rather elderly Piotr, who's probably about 35.
That's ancient.
But that was...
He's like Jack LaLanne.
So old, yeah.
35,
I mean,
in this time.
You could picture him as old and grizzled and in his 60s, but, you know, he's probably about 35 with five kids, you know. And so he sends her back. But the Piotr, because you get a couple of chapters from his... short chapters from his perspective, this weird thing happens when he's in the marketplace in Moscow and he sees this weird dude, and the dude meets him outside the city and says, like, does some like crazy ninja shit, and is like, I will kill your son. And everyone's like, what? No, okay. Like, don't do it. He's like, I won't kill him on one condition. Take this weird blue pendant and give it to your daughter. And everyone's like, that is a weird condition, because usually you want something from me when you take a hostage. But no, your hostage, you took a hostage, my son, and I'm going to give you something. It's like, and you must give it to her and something.
Never tell anybody.
Yes.
Never say what happened.
Even though there are like 20 people watching.
No one can remember seeing him ever. Including his son, who just got knifed.
Who had been like bleeding all over his beard, because he's a Russian noble. He had a beard that he tucked into his socks already.
And he was 12.
Like soaked with blood, and he's like, and then all of a sudden it's clean, and there's no wound. And he's like, Dad, what the fuck's wrong with you? You just like micro-napped. And he's like, oh, sorry, that happens. You know, the cold. And so then he gets home and he gets, but then like, typical dad, he like pawns this job off on the woman in the house, and he's like, hey Dunya, can you give this shit to my daughter? And I don't want anything to do with it. And don't tell her anything. The weird beardless man who is a ninja didn't tell me I can't delegate this task. And then she's like, okay, yeah, sure. And then she's like, I'm fucking keeping this thing. This thing is fucking sweet. I am a peasant.
Well, she also knows that it's magic, because she knows the old ways. And she has a dream where the guy's like, give her the fucking necklace, you gift thief.
The fuck, idiot.
She's like, and she's like, no, she's too young for this. And he's like, you better do it. And she's like, nah. And then that's the last you hear of it for a little while.
Well, he's like, fine, But when she's old enough, she's like, all right, deal.
You know, 12.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know what it is. When you keep talking about a young girl being old enough, it sounds very sexual, but it's like, no, when she's old enough to handle this responsibility of wearing the heart of the ocean of Russia. But he is the same. Vasya has already seen this man, but she didn't tell anybody. Because she, in the beginning, she like, it's not clear, it wasn't clear to me at least, that she's seeing shit that like is real or like daydreams or an insomniac's daydream. She's getting fucking drunk. And so this is a beer from somewhere. Timber Ales in IPA, dry hopped with Citra and Galaxy. Not bad. Thin, but thin.
Thin.
Hmm. But she sees at one point, she like gets lost in the woods and she finds an old creepy oak tree that people can only find when the plot needs them to. And then
that's literally what it says later.
It's magic, yeah.
And then she...
It's the room of requirement.
The tree of requirement, yeah. What do you think they built the room out of? And there's like a bum sleeping in front of the tree. It's like it looks like Jiminy Cricket or whatever the fuck his name was from Always Sunny. Like his face is fucked up on one side.
Oh, Rickety Cricket.
Rickety Cricket, yeah.
He has, yeah, he's got one eye.
It's all fucked up face, and he's like, oh, who's coming by my tree? And he's like, myth. Oh, hey, kid. Want to smoke some candy? She's like, what? And then this other guy, the guy who, the ninja dude shows up, and he's like, not yet. She's not ready. And then we're supposed to think, like, they're both bad or something, but, you know, he's like, go back, little girl. And then they're just gone. She's like, that was fucking strange. I better go do my mending with my needlework because it's 1352 and that's the only thing that passes as joy these days.
So not starving also counts as joy.
Yes, that's true. That is the greatest joy.
And they only just barely manage that every winter or almost every winter. So Vasya can see. Yes. Vasya can also see the little spirits, the little things. And there's one, the Domovoy, there's one that like lives in the hearth. And she knows that the other like peasant women will like leave it a little offering, like a little food and drink. But it helps to keep the hearth warm. And also there's another Domovoy that works with the horses. It lives in the barn and it like can talk to the horses, and then Vasya can speak with them too, and she's like really, really good with horses, including she could ride the stallion's bareback.
That's only later because she...
Yeah, later, but she learns to get really good with the horses.
Well, they teach... That's a prize. They're like, we got a surprise for you, kid. You're going to learn to speak horse. It's like I've been coughing a lot? And they're like, no. Like, nay, not that.
Nay.
It's like, what do you mean? It's like, it's the main language of horses. Like the hair? Like, oh my God. But she sees these little, you know, goblin things. There's the Brazilian wax. I forget what that one was. I think that's the...
I think the Vasilisa is the horse guy.
There's a horse one, and then there's like the creature of the Black Sea Lagoon. And that one is the weird kelp mermaid lady that lives in the woods.
The Rusalka, who has to keep her hair wet, even though it's very cold out. She always has a cold.
She's sniffling constantly. Sorry. But because, you know, these creatures learn that this girl can see them, they form this, like, weird, you know, relationship that only exists in children's movies where a child can see some sort of, like, drop-dead Fred character. And they reward, like, she leaves the offerings for them, and she's like, don't eat people anymore. What the fuck? I'll give you some old apple cores, you bum demon.
That's just as good.
They're like, oh, apple cores? You wouldn't happen to have a loaf of bread that's 6 days old, do you? He's like,
just the crust.
Not going to believe this.
Just the crust.
But it's the upper crust. It's feudalism. And so...
Well, they like her because the old people, everyone else, the older folks, really have stopped like acknowledging them and, you know, giving them offerings because there's a new priest in town and goddamn he's hot. And he's here to...
Yes, the Zaddy. The Zaddy priest.
Yes.
Don't call me Father Constantine. Call me Zaddy. Who he gets sent there as punishment.
For being too hot.
Yeah.
Basically. They're like, you're too popular and you're making me look bad. So you have to go and do your famed icon painting out in the sticks. And he's like, I'm going to go paint the fuck out of that icon.
Just go speak in a comically deep Russian voice. Like, have you ever heard a Russian choir? Like, there's always one guy whose voice is just a foghorn.
He's the guy who gives the speeches during Boys to Men songs.
That guy doesn't tour with them anymore. It's not just Michael. He does not. He's not with the group anymore. He had back problems from his ginormous cock, probably. But seriously, he had back problems. He couldn't tour anymore. So they just have him like on fucking recording when you see them live. I'm told
he zooms in.
I wouldn't know.
He Tupac's in.
They hologram I've never him. Been to a Boys to Men show. What?
So Constantine has arrived, and he is big into the whole Jesus thing, being a priest and all. And he starts telling everybody, like, you all have got to fucking get your shit together and start doing more Jesus-y things. And they're like, yes, yes, sorry, we suck at this. Oh, no, we're so afraid of letting God down. And he's like, you fucking better be. This is Russia. Everything sucks all the time. And they're like, yeah, it really does. And that's a good third of the book.
But he's like really good at painting things out of beeswax.
He's almost discovered perspective. Like, I mean, these paintings can't be that good, right? Like, they can't be that good.
No.
They're from the 1300s.
You remember a few years ago when somebody like fucked up that painting and tried to fix it?
She like repainted the Virgin's face and it looks like a sponge.
Yeah, it's like a monkey. That's what he's doing. But before that, it was just like cave art in Russia. So they're like, this is incredible. But I think this is class. This is textbook English 101. He's making the paintings out of wax and he's fucking shit up as if to say he should have minded his own beeswax.
It's a metaphor.
We didn't know that's not what the author
Prove
intended.
Prove me wrong. And he's constantly doing it. It's there.
He's doing it so much that everyone stops giving their offerings to the local spirits. And because of that,
he yells at them. He specifically says, don't do this anymore.
You make sure you eat those bread crusts and don't give them to, you know, stuff that's not real, because God will send you straight to hell and you'll deserve it. Everything's getting shitty. The crops are failing. It's getting way too cold for everybody. And everything's just gone to shit because the spirits that protected these people are not being fed because everyone's afraid of Jesus. And so Vasya is like, we got to feed the spirits. And so she's like giving them all her food and letting them drink her blood because, you know, they like that shit. So she's not looking so good.
And her father, at one point, her father tries to marry her off to some other random, you know, prince.
That comes later when he's trying to get rid of her, so the bad guy won't take her.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, the stepmom is like, you're a demon witch child, and
because you see the things I see.
Yeah, but like I'm praying, I'm doing a shit ton of rosaries, and she beats the shit out of the girl all the time. And Constantine, the priest, feels like threatened by the kid. So he's like, this kid is weird. I don't like it.
She's a witch.
Yeah, but he also, his sin is pride.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's like, this is my, I hate being out here in the boonies with these fucking, what's a Cossack? Are they Cossacks? I don't know what that is.
No, the Cossacks were Ukrainian horse soldiers.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm trying to think of a word to call them besides peasants.
They are peasants. You know, they're out there fucking country bumpkins.
And he's like, this sucks. I hate these people. I want to go back to the big city where I could.
They're serfs? I guess they're serfs.
Some of them maybe. Are, yeah. Maybe, or
like serfdom really isn't mentioned in the book because it seems like, you know, even though Pyotr's the, you know, like the head dude, he's just kind of like, he just seems like the head guy and not like everyone are his serfs.
He's the lord or whatever. I mean, they do mention occasionally random men like Timofey, which Timofey is one of the random peasants, and then like
he blew up the Oklahoma City building, right?
Agafia or whatever. yeah. Timothée Chalamet is his full name.
he's a lord of sort. I don't know if it's feudalism, but it's basically kind of like that. He is the lord, and for the purpose of the book, he's a very nice lord who definitely doesn't exploit his peasants, except with all the tribute they have to bring, so that he can then give tribute to the great Khan.
In the great pyramid scheme that was the Middle Ages.
Yeah. He has to bring him a lot of pelts.
It's all about securing your downstreams.
Or, you know, kicking back to your upline or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's basically a medieval Amway is what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
But he's a nice one because they do mention randomly, like, oh, that guy fucks his peasant girls and has like 10 bastards or whatever.
Yeah, he like doesn't let his serfs starve, so he is an exemplary leader.
I mean, he's also still living in a house where they all sleep on the oven at night, so he's not doing much better than them. He just has nicer furs.
He does have staff, though.
They never mention how well he's hung. I don't know if you'd call it that.
He's got girth and staff.
Is he the bear? Like, rawr. Look at the staff on that guy. Spend a night in Gale? I'd rather die. But it doesn't really matter. Something happens next. I don't know what it is, though.
So Constantine starts hearing a voice, and because he's a dickhead, he thinks it's the voice of God. But it's really the voice of an evil spirit who's like, better do all this stuff for me. And he's like, okay, God, you bet. Because he's like, yeah, God, of course God's talking to me. I'm the best. I paint the best icons.
But it's that sleeping bum guy. The shadow guy.
It's the spooky, bad thing. And, you know.
The Lord of Frost.
All the ghosts and spirits are talking to Vasya all the time. And she's like starving herself to death to try to keep feeding them. And they're like, look, there's some bad shit coming, like, at some point, and it's really out of our control. There's not much we can do about it. But she's like, you got to keep protecting us. Please, here, have another crust of bread. Fight off the apocalypse. And it's like, oh, all right, sure.
So the winter gets really bad. I mean, it's already bad in Russia, but this is, like, bad even for them. And there's a demon night spirit comes to, like, kill people. Like, what is the first one, the one that tries to kill the priest? I can't remember if that's the first one, but anyway, so
well, eventually Dunya dies.
That's way late. That's like after
when does the zombies happen, or is Agafia become the first zombie? Someone becomes a zombie.
She goes to the priest to ask for help. But what's her name? Vasya gets warnings from the wood nymphs or whatever, and they're like, listen, and they're all cryptic. They're like, first comes you know, the boils, whatever. Then comes the shadows, and then comes, you know, you don't even want to fucking know. And she's like, no, I do. And they're like, I gotta go. And she's like, at a certain point, can't you give me a goddamn straight answer? And they're like, no. So, like, they're fucking just speaking riddles to her.
And their straight answer is no.
Like, all right, I guess I asked for it, and that is a straight answer. But she gets all these clues, and they're like, beware of the dead. That's when it all fucks up. Like, right now it's bad, but we're only on like phase one of the 4-step plan to shittiness. Hmm. She's like, what am I supposed to do? And they're like, also just keep those bread crusts coming, because daddy got to eat. And she's like, oh, okay. And they're just selfish little goblins that live in their fucking oven.
And they use they're like Dobbies. They use like house elf magic to keep them safe with their special powers.
And they wear cum socks.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't say they don't wear cum socks. There's not much else to do when you're snowed in for months at a time, I guess.
Look at all these icicles that are formed on this. Yeah, those are icicles. It's an interesting form of stalactite.
So the dead start, like, in the middle of the night, in the, you know, deep Russian winter night, the dead start like coming out of their graves to like attack people, and Vasya or whatever the fuck her name is, go like first she's the only one that can like, so first she can only like seize them, or she tries to save them, and first she saves the priest from one while he's sleeping, and then Then Dunya, the old maid, dies. But she's also been like the mother of like all of the kids. She's especially because the mother is actually dead. But she also is like the peasant woman who did a lot of the cooking and
nursing.
Nursing all of them and all that kind of thing. So finally, years have gone by and she gives the, and as she's dying, she gives the blue pendant necklace to, what's her name?
Vasya.
And then Vasya, there you go, gives a pendant to her and she's like, okay, what does it do? She's like, I don't know, but it's important. And then she dies. But then she literally, like, so she's dead and she's been buried, but then she literally gets out of her grave in the night. And there's like a really pretty creepy scene where there's like, they just, you know, in the middle of the Russian night, they hear like wailing outside the house or outside their like shack. And it's like, wow, that's like really creepy. And then they hear like scratching on the window and they open the window and they definitely see her face in the window. It's, anyway, that was pretty creepy.
It's the Bansheevich or whatever. But they had seen one earlier because instead of going to Vasya's funeral, they went and they were like, I bet there's a fucking zombie thing out there called an upir, which is, I can only imagine, vampire in Cyrillic. And they find the upirs and, it's of this woman who had died earlier, who like froze to death in a, you know, frenzy, like when it went mad, and they spear her through the mouth because that's something Dunya said, like, make a fucking steak, you're gonna need that. She's like, ribeye? No, vampire steak. And one of the many clues is like, you know, first comes hunger, then comes chilliness, then comes like crazy people, and then comes shadow death land or something. I forget the exact order, but it's like, oh fuck. And every time it happens to some person, Vasya goes to a little gremlin and is like, I will give you even more apple cores, please make it stop. And they're like, all right, fine, best I could do, 6 weeks tops. And you're gonna have to, you know, do some stuff for me. That's creepy. I'm gonna need some feet pics. She's like, whatever, it's for my people. So, you know, we had seen this earlier. She had tried to stop it, and it doesn't fucking matter. It's just, I mean, it's interesting, but it's like, whatever. Just get to the fucking conflict. Oh wait, it's book one. We're not going to. Right? I mean, it's a problem.
They approach the conflict. There is some conflict at the end, but you know,
it's conflict adjacent.
Yeah, it's book one, so you know it's gonna happen.
So then the dad, it's like, I got some guy shows up in the middle, and I was like, please help, you know, Prince Pyotr. My village is all fucked up, and he's like, all right, I'm coming. And Vasya is like, don't do that. That's, you're gonna die out there. And he's like, please. I am a man in 1357. I'm fine. I will have a better chance of dying from drinking water. And then he leaves. And then the shitty stepmom convinces the priest to send Vasya to go become a nun. To get she to a nunnery. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty true. Because the demon that talks to me, I realize, isn't God. But it was like, go kill that kid. And he's like, all right. Two birds coming up.
So she's told, like, so the stepmom tells her, you're going to in the morning, you're going to a convent. You know, more of this witch business, no more of these spells and magic. You're going to the convent. And she's like, you know, of course, because, you know, she's a free spirit and also doesn't believe in that shit. She's like, no. And so she runs out the door into the night.
But the first, the mother says, all right, you have a choice. Okay, you either go to the convent or you bring me back a basket of flowers that are definitely not in bloom right now. The snowdrops. And she's like, all right, fuck, I have a better chance of finding those than going to a convent.
And she escapes.
But into the fucking vast wooded wilderness.
In the dead of the blizzard winter.
And who does she meet, Nate?
She meets the ninja.
Shinobi. Wow, this is the crossover.
Beverly Hills Ninja.
It's Chris Farley's ghost.
So she's dying of okay, she's out in the forest in the middle of the night in Russia in a bitter, it's bitterly cold, and the Father Frost, the weird, creepy, one-eyed dude, is like, aha, I've got you now. But then the ninja dude, who's his brother, you find out, like, goes and
Is he Father Frost? I thought Father Frost was Mozakov, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Morozko is the bear, who is the coldness.
Well, who's Medvev? Medvedev.
Medved is the bear, and Morozko is the good guy, who is death.
But he's Father Frost. He's the one who brings the cold, and who I pictured in my head as some sort
maybe
of
the bear brings
composer
too cold?
With a wig. They're twin brothers. That was weird because this is folklore. I don't know, so like I don't really understand the subtleties. It doesn't matter. Moroskovich, Slobodan Moroskovich, saves her, and he takes her to his little fucking hut and his magic talking horse,
who is very sassy.
It's a real filly. Nate, what happens in the house once they finish horsing around?
So it's this whole like magical thing where she wakes up in a bed, in a magnificent like 4-poster bed, but she also is like, but yet I can sort of see that I'm like inside this magnificent house, yet also outside in the forest in the snow at the same time. And then the dude walks up, is like, yeah, no, it's confusing, I know, but just like pick one. And she's like, oh, okay, I got it now. And
just close one eye.
He talks with her.
It's like a magic eye thing.
Yep.
I see a sailboat now.
Yeah, focus, yeah. And then he talks with her, and she's like, I have to. My stepmom was going to send me to a convent unless I find these flowers. Snow and he's drops. Like, yeah, sure, I'll bring them to you. And he like does, and then she's like, well, okay, that's also weird. And then she also makes friends with the sassy horse, the sassy spirit horse. And then days passed, but also he's like, what is time? I hear it's a flat circle. And then he says, you know, you could be in here for weeks and then step out and it's still the next morning. It doesn't matter. Time is an illusion. I was like, okay.
I'm an immortal snow being. Give a shit about your calendar.
And then he's like, okay, because you are fierce and brave and magical, I will help you. And also, here are some beautiful dresses and all of these nice things. And then she sort of realizes, oh no, I'm going to have to fuck this guy if I accept these. So she's like, you know what? No thanks. I'll just take the flowers. And that's it. Meanwhile, during overnight, the other demon has spoken to the priest and said, you know, bring me the other one. Bring me the other one that can see the spirits. And that's her stepmom. That's the stepmom that's been afraid of the little spirit. Has came from Moscow and has been afraid of the spirits this whole time. And so the priest lures Anna Ivanova.
Irina out to was her daughter. The pretty one.
Got it.
We have not mentioned once and doesn't matter.
No, yeah. Out to the forest to the magical clearing of requirement. And then she just screams, and then the evil guy is like, hey, I like that. Keep going. That really turns me on.
Because we learn from Morozko or whatever that the other brother, he feeds on fear. And the fear he feeds on most is those who can see him. So, you know, when he does a lot of, you know, got your nose to people, like that's a little bit of fear. But like when he finds like a woman who can see demons, and he just keeps like showing her his bat wing, he's like, I'm not that. She's like, oh no, make it stop. But he's like, look at that, it's veiny. She's like, and he's just like, this is doing it for me. Hey, you don't remember that part?
Missed that part, yeah.
The part really stood out to me, yeah.
Yeah,
I was listening on very fast speed by this point, so. Anything can happen. So anyway, the girl comes back and she's like, okay, it's the next morning, even though she's been away for days. She gets back and she's like, and her other half-sister is like, oh, but where's mommy? And she's like, oh, that's weird. I'm back to save everybody. And now my mom's gone. Huh,
starting behind the eight ball here on saving everybody.
And he's like, oh no, she's not out in the church, or she's something's been happened. So she runs out into the forest again, and then she is able to find the magical clearing right away. And she's like, no, fuck you, Mr. Bear, because he's actually a bear. He's the bear, and she's the nightingale.
He's like, not with those bangs.
The nightingale is the horse, her new magic horse.
That's what his name is, Nightingale. She's like, that's fucking confusing. You are not a bird. He's like, oh my God, how stupid are you, child? He's like, I really want to understand.
Names are just a label.
And first, all the Domovoi are also there, and they're going to fight the bear demon dude, and they like do a bit, but of course they lose because they're just little goblin creatures. And then she's going to fight, but then also the stepmom just dies. She gets killed
by Dunya. The vampire lady comes back and rips her throat out.
Well, it's like killing her is the final step of setting the bear free. He had to kill someone who could see them, and that's like the last thing of the spell. So now he's out, and he's ready to do a bad stuff or whatever. We don't know what he's going to do, but he's probably going to make, you know, the world end with a blizzard, because that seems to be a very Russian thing to do.
It's going to make people very afraid for a while.
Very afraid. Even though in this story, death is the good guy, because
that's how you
death
know it's
is
Russian.
The only release from suffering you have.
But he
he wants to send the girl away because she's not strong enough to fight the bear yet. He's like, you got to get the fuck out of Dodge. She's like, all right. And she leaves. He's like, nope, going to go fight the bear. And he's like, you stupid bitch. And so she's fighting the bear, and then her brother is there and he's fighting the bear, but you know, they're going to lose because it's a supernatural giant bear. And what are they? Nothing. And then her dad shows
it's
up.
The bear from that fucking, dark gunslinger.
Cocaine bear?
Book.
Gunslinger. Kind of. Yeah. It's not quite that big, but yeah, it's that size.
She does say it's bigger than any bear should be. What I want to say, there's the part where
Mr. Roscoe.
He's like, no, you have to save your stepmother. And it's literally two paragraphs later, like, she was dead. It was on the same.
That did Kindle. Not work.
Like, this plan, immediately we need to retool this plan. But Moroskovich is like, I have to wait until midwinter. Again, it's how you know it's Russian. Not the end of winter. I am strongest at midwinter. That's
We're
when I can do
only 9
something.
Months into winter right now. We're not at midwinter yet.
Mid-August. Hit me up. I'll be ready.
Every That's winter when... is 17 to 26 months. You know that. This is Russia.
Yeah, that's like the seasons of Neptune or something. Like, we have to wait. But he's like, I can't do shit until midwinter. The icicles won't be ready. It's gonna be a little too tepid. And she's like, I gotta go do it. Give me your talking magic horse. But then all the Dobby, the house elves get their shit pushed in. And then what happens, Nate? What happens?
And then her father, Pyotr, shows up and he's like, I'm back from helping out that village that's 2 days right away. Yeah, that sucked. But now I'm here and it's even worse.
That's a big bear. And
then, yeah. And then the bear is like, something like, you must, to save everyone, you must give me the girl. And the father is like, she's my child. How do I do that? I can't do that. Take me instead. And then the bear just like, you know, swats him one time, and now he's like definitely dead because, you know, he's a bear. But that broke the spell. It was like, oh, he chose himself. He gave his own life. He completed the compact or whatever the fuck it is. And so now his power is gone because now he's been sealed back in his prison or something like that because the father gave his life. And so then Vasya is like, oh, very sad, of course. Definitely very sad. And then it's like, well, now that he's dead, now I really have to leave. And so the final, like, this is in the, like, the very final pages of the book where the father dies. And there's a very short scene where she's like, yeah, okay, I'm leaving.
Because all the village people were like,
the cowboy, the construction worker, the Indian. They were all like,
tell me more about the bears. But they were, they were like, this girl's a fucking witch. She must die. We will stone her. So she cannot stay there. These intolerant village people.
She can go stay at the YMCA, but not here.
We are macho men. macho men.
Well, earlier she was rejected.
And Sasha was in the Navy.
She was rejected by her suitor because she rode a horse too well.
She rode his horse.
Yeah, and not metaphorically, like literally rode his horse.
No, that's not a euphemism. She rode his horse. Oh, it still sounds bad. You just can't.
It just made him look bad in front of all the other dudes killing pigs, that they were just acting out a scene from Lord of the Flies when they hunted boar.
Right up his ass.
So then she's like, I have to leave. And so she leaves.
But I'll be back in the sequel.
It's a trilogy, baby. And she's like, let me take that. Good thing I have a convenient, magical, talking horse.
But it only talks to her.
Isn't that enough? I mean, she could translate for the horse. He's like, all right, see you later. And she dips. And she's like, let me go find Mr. Orzo. And then she hangs out with him. Yeah. Great. The end.
I just saw that book 2 also came out in 2017.
She had one in the chamber.
Same year. Yeah.
Yeah. I read the Wikipedia article for this, in my intense research. And she had, this was published by Del Rey, Del Rey Taco. But it was
Lana Del Rey?
Lana Del Rey Taco is like a before, in the middle, and after that you didn't know we needed. But I read somewhere that she had like signed the deal to do this in like 2014. They had purchased this. So they ended up coming out in like January. And they're like Irish twins in the books. But she had a head start. But it is a bad look when you're like, wow, in the same year? Wow, you just really cranked it. The third one's 2019.
You needed time to button it up, you know?
She is also our age. Oh, my God. Mm. I could barely read it, let's write it. what'd you think, Nate?
I really liked that it was in Russia. It was a nice change. You know, I've read, fair amount of fantasy, and they're all, for the most part, except for Harry Potter, they're all just like medieval, very the same kind of thing.
Quote unquote.
And this was, it's medieval England essentially, and this, it was completely different. Also, the story itself was different. It wasn't just the sword and the stone, but yet in Russia. It was actually a unique fantasy story as well. I was like, oh, this is really nice. It took a really long time for like the main conflict to like, for the main conflict, which is the one that happened at the end, took a really long time for the main conflict to finally just like, oh, this is what's going to happen in the book. Which is another way of saying a lot of that stuff kind of didn't matter. Like there's a lot of things that happened that ultimately play no real role in.
They might in the sequels, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously I haven't read any of the sequels because I only finished this about an hour before we recorded. So I definitely have not read the sequels. But anyway, I'm sure that's going to be more important later. But my point is that what turns out to be the main conflict just kind of like shows up at the end. You're like, oh, this is what it is. And it's not like in Harry Potter, you're the main mystery is established at the beginning, and then he's making steps toward, he's making progress towards, or, you know, things happen, and it's all along the way towards, I want to find out what happened to my parents, who is Voldemort, blah, blah, blah. Whereas this just has like, oh, she has interesting that happened, but it's not like she's told at the beginning, except for that little fairy tale, which technically happens before she's born. She's not told, this is what you're going to do. You're going to meet death and decide not to fuck him. That's the main plot of the book. She's not told that in the beginning, and then she's working towards it.
How old is she by the end of the book? She's like 14 or 15, maybe 16. I can't remember.
She's a later teenager. Hmm.
I don't know about the fucking death thing, but I thought it was, I mean, it's part of a series. I imagine those other things that were in the beginning are not for no reason. You know, like the brother who became a monk, we're going to meet him again later, I'm sure. The sister who moved to Moscow, we're going to get to her.
Oh, yeah. The thing where they hinted, like, what if we overthrew the Khan? And the dad is like, no. I'm like, all right, we'll see how that goes. Because that was like when the brother came back to visit. I'm sure
a monk the world will get bigger. Mentions that, yeah. Yeah, there's going to be more. And she's leaving this setting. I mean, she never left it, except for to go to the magical horse farm. She never left this place. She's now exiled. I mean, she's going to go somewhere else in the next books. So all those other characters, and we'll get new ones, as is the case always. I think they'll matter. And even the other scenes, like the fact that she had the suitor guy that she embarrassed, like that served a purpose too, right? The dad was trying to fulfill the prophecy or whatever the fuck it was.
He's trying to avoid the prophecy.
Right, yeah, he's trying to cheat it.
You can't cheat death. Huh?
I mean, on your way to your final destination? There should be a movie about that. So I thought it was really, I think those things are going to matter. And the fact that she like wrote these all really like right in a row, and it's her first thing, she probably thought about all of it ahead of time. So I think it'll all matter. I think it'll end up being pretty tight.
I mean, you're probably right.
It did feel like a slow build out of context of the other two, though.
But I also, I don't know. I mean, I think we knew that stuff. I mean, yeah, she was, like, the part that was like slow was like, what does this priest have to do with anything? He's just like an asshole.
The priest thing was kind of the part that I liked the most, where it was like, the new ways are killing off the old ways. I thought that part
was interesting. The plot of American Gods. But
pretty much, yeah. Except they're like actual little like house spirits and not like the concept of greed.
Mithras, yeah. Technology.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was interesting. I had to look up each of these little Russian spirits. Yeah, that was fun though. Little folklore things. And you're sad when they starve to death.
That's what they call a happy ending in most Russian stories, where you only starve to death. The sad ones are when you starve and freeze to death.
Mm. Or you have to eat your mom's body and then you starve anyway afterwards.
Right. I really liked it. So Jimmy gave it 3 stars. Fucking dick move, dude.
It's just that lacking the context of the other two, it was a little slow for me. I liked parts.
You don't want to know where it goes? You don't want to see the rest?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay. I think I will like the others more. And maybe, like, if I read the others and then I read this one again at a later point in my life, I would like it more. But on its own, I liked parts of it, but a lot of it was kind of like, meh, I don't care about some of this. And the final conflict was kind of confusing still, even though they did a big exposition dump in the magic cabin in the woods. And we're just like, okay, got a mean brother, and he's bad guy, and I'm a good guy, and we're both kind of the same thing, or we scissor or something, and yeah, I don't know. So it was a lot, and maybe I didn't like burn through this thing. I read it relatively carefully. It's not super dense. I don't think it's a YA book. I think it's kind of like light fantasy. I liked it. There were a lot of parts I just didn't care too much about. I thought it was an interesting idea. It was different than most things. And I'm also not a big fantasy dude, so like that's on me.
Yeah, Jimmy masturbates to nothing.
Yeah, just no the concept of nothing.
It's just, he just looks at beige paint swatches.
No, beige is something. It's not nothing. We've been over this.
Well, you're right. But you can't call them beige people.
We are beige.
I would just say, like, fantasy series where they introduce something on like page one of this is the goal of the book series are kind of annoying too. Like, think back to Harry Potter doesn't actually do that. Harry Potter introduces this boy into I'm reading it to my kid at night, so I'm rereading the first Harry Potter book recently. And I'm absolutely going to fucking count it on Goodreads. And
reading it?
I mean, actually, I've been getting her to read it. Like, you're good. You read this book.
That's an audiobook.
No. How many words I have to help? I'm like, that word is muggle. Not a hard R.
That's a slur.
It is interesting that the slur for magic, non-magic people, also has two G's in the middle of it. It's really just like a kid being introduced into the world, and it's only at the really the very end of the book when you're like, oh shit, the bad guy's still around. I mean, there's sure like little hints, but it's not from the beginning. Lord of the Rings is the one where from the beginning they're like, this is the mission. And that's fucking dreadful.
It's called There and Back Again. Lays it all out.
Isn't that The Hobbit?
The same shit.
So I liked that you're like, I don't know where this is going. It's introducing things. I think they will all end up mattering. But like most books have like, it goes to like, do you like the book or not? When the other stuff happens and you're like, is this character development or is this fluff? And if you like the book, you're like, character development. And if you think it's shitty, you're like, what is this? This should have been cut out.
Yeah.
So I thought it was great. I hope we read the other ones.
There are chunks I didn't care for. And that's true of any book, especially any fantasy series where there are 9 fucking subplots.
Yeah. Who should read it?
People who are into fantasy, I think, would like this.
Yeah.
Or at least maybe the most dedicated of Dragonlance readers would be like, I don't know about this.
What's Dragonlance?
It is a
gay porn.
It sounds like it.
It's gay porn fantasy, Dragonlance. So after he lances, he's dragging his nuts across your face. That's what Nate told. Nate sends me the stills.
That's his fan art.
I was like, is that Pegasus? I was like, no, it's Peg and us. Oh.
Peg asses.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay. Before I was so rudely interrupted. people who like fantasy probably like it now because we've also read some of those dumb romantasy books. Only a few. We read.
Those are just porn.
Fourth Wing and.
The Fourth Batwing.
Court of Thorn and.
Court of
Buttholes.
Courtney Thorn and was. Rose and Guns N' Roses.
This is so much better than those.
That's true.
It is so much better than those dumb YA with sex books.
Those are like 50 Shades of Dragons.
50 Shades of Fae. Come on.
Outlander. I barely know her. And witches.
Out and Proudlander.
But anyway, yeah, it's so much better than that. It's that, you know, when I put it on, when I put on Goodreads, I will give it 4 stars for sure.
I think this is good for people who aren't huge fantasy nerds.
It's an entry point.
That's what they say in Out and Proudlander. But yeah, it is. Like, I was talking to my wife about it. I was like, you should read this book. It's pretty fun. It's not too fantasy-ish where you're like, oh my God, I don't care about goblin lore this much.
Yeah. You don't go into like the Lord of the Rings where it's like the history of the kings and their cousins. Like, ooh, I don't give a fuck about that. And there isn't a single song. No, are there songs? I think maybe it's one song.
There is one or two songs, but it's like Sasha sings a song to calm down a dying woman.
It's not about the history of the fifth battle of Urgendorf.
No, the song is like, we are peasants, we will die, we are Russian. And they're like, oh, I love that one. And then they just sing that.
So true.
It's not even my birthday.
Preach.
Sing it. Sing it, Sasha.
But I think it has like the fantasy tropes and it's fun without being too like, oh God, this is like, I feel my hymen regrowing as I read this. But as Nate was saying before, the fact that it's in a total, like a very different setting makes it much more fun. Because
it was a nice change.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know shit about these Russian sprites.
I think if you're a folklore nerd, then this would be something you would enjoy.
Well, be careful. You don't want to excite the Swifties. You're like, folklore? It's like, oh, she didn't make that up. Fucking Jesus Christ.
She made up that word.
She did not. Oh, God.
She made that word up. That lore never existed. It was just called stuff people thought about.
Oh, man. When somebody writes the like the oral history of Saturday Night Live, it should be called Folklorn. It's Lorne Michaels, you know? I don't know why that popped in my head, but trademark. Uh-huh. It's a fun book. You should read it if you like fantasy stuff. And if you like Russian shit, why? Why would you like that?
We read that other Russian one. We read that other Russian one.
Oh, the Shadow and Bones?
Yeah. This is also way better than Shadow and Bone.
Oh, yeah. Shadow and Bones was a Hunger Games ripoff. Like all the other ones. It was like, we are separated by this thing, and we are children who must fight to the death against other factions of children.
But that one was in Russia, whereas and was stupid.
That was the Grishaverse, Nate.
That's right.
That one was more like it took place in Russia, but it could have been anywhere, really. This is more like, this is based on Russian stuff. It's its own thing.
Real Russia. That was just Russian-esque.
It was culturally appropriating Russia.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. No one's offended on their behalf.
No, fuck them.
So yeah, I hope we do the next book. I want to read it. I want to read it relatively soon before I forget all this shit. So either we decide to do it, or I will read it on the 6 minutes a week when I have time to read something besides our books, and I'll finish.
If we're gonna read
it,
we might as well do it here. Yeah,
but I liked it. So thanks, whoever messaged us and told us to read it. It was great.
This was the only message someone's ever sent us on Facebook in the last like 4 years. Like we didn't even check that shit.
Well, because half the time it's like you have to like log into Facebook Messenger. It's like, I don't want to talk to my QAnon uncle. I don't need to be on there for that.
Amy. Thanks, Amy. Thanks. I'm not going to say your last name because that would be doxing, and that's bad.
And dachshunds are those little dogs.
Russian.
Yeah. Russian German. Dogs are just small bears.
Russian dogs are... They just give birth by shooting out progressively smaller dogs.
It's like the mouth from Aliens. It's like a dog comes out and like, oh, gross.
I saw a tweet. It was like the alien from Aliens, but he bends over to take a poop and his a smaller butthole comes out of his butthole and poops.
that's prolapse. That's
Astrushka.
That's what happens when you mapushka too hard. So,
tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
And if you feel like supporting the podcast, head over to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub where you could be putting some money into our pockets there and helping us out. Or just leave us a review wherever you're listening. Just round it up to 5 stars, one for each season of winter the Russians have in a year.
And you can find us on the socials at our name and also on Goodreads, where Dostoevsky pun.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.